Throughout our tefillas, we mentioned the whole time we tried to invoke the Schus Ovis. Tefillas throughout the year, particularly through Yom Noroim. And so too on Sukkos, whether for those Marovas, the same Marovas, Yotzras, and today in the Nusach of the Hishanas, we make mention of the Ovis and the previous Doris. And I would like to focus in particular on how Yaakov Avinu features in the Tfilis over Sukkos, befrat as we know that the Tor brings in the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Chodesh from his brother Rabbi Yehuda that the three Regalim, the Shorosh Regalim, correspond to the Shlosha Ovis, the three Ovis, Pesach corresponding to Avram, Shavuos to Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and Sukkot corresponds to Yaakov, and he brings a pasuk because it says V'Yaakov Nosa Sukkosa, pasuk in Parshas Vayishlach, where after Yaakov fought with the Sorishal Esav, after Yaakov met Esav after the many years, and eventually he was saved from Esav, and then it says Vayosha Vayomu Esav Ledarpe Seira, Esav returned on his way to say it, the Yaakov Nosa Sukkoso, Yaakov traveled on to Sukkos. So obviously when the Torah mentions that Sukkos represents and corresponds to Yaakov, because it says the Yaakov Nosa Sukkoso, it doesn't simply mean that there's a play in the word. We see Yaakov went to a place called Sukkos, therefore Yaakov represents the Yom Tov of Sukkos. So in the Marovis, on the first night Yom Tov, which this year we didn't say because it was Shabbos, we said it on the second night, we start off by saying we mention Yaakov Avinu, we refer to him as Tom Hamafatzel Chono Basukos. So we have the mention of Yaakov who was Chono Basukos, he rested, he camped in Sukkos. We mention something else as well, which is Tom, means Yaakov Avinu Ish Tom Hamafatzel. Hamafatzel refers to something which happened in Parshas Vayetze, where Yaakov Avinu wanted to, he agreed with Lavan on a certain wage which he was going to get after serving and working for Lavan for all those years, and they agreed what type of sheep and what type of goats he was going to get, and whether it was the speckled ones, the ones with bands around them, or whatever it was. And Yaakov Avinu, it says, he took a stick and he cut the stick in a certain way to make the stick with blotches on the stick, and that way he was able to achieve that the sheep should conceive in the manner in which Laban had agreed Yaakov should get, which is a very interesting parasha in its own right and difficult to understand exactly what was going on there. But all the more so, why do we mention it here? What schus are we trying to invoke by saying that Yaakov Avinu did this inyan of being mefatzel? Again, all the Mefarshim, all the Rishonim go to a great length to discuss what's going on here. It seems this is an inyan of sheker or cheating or amos on the part of Yaakov. So first of all, we have to understand what Yaakov is doing, and even if we can explain and give reasons why Yaakov was allowed to do it, but why should that be a reason to mention it in the Nusach HaTfilah as an inyan of mentioning the schus of Yaakov? We try to remember the schus. What's the inyan of the Mefarshim? The truth is, this inyan of the Mefatzel occurs three times during Sukkos. Once, as I mentioned in Marovis, and twice today in Hishanus, in the first shikul, after the shikul of Hishanah Rabbah, it says, Leman Tomin Bezeroysov. So we say, Leman Kidam Se'et Brocha. He got there first to take the Brocha. Hanistom, he was hated. Ulashimcha Chikach, he hoped he was the help for your name. Meyachem b'maklois b'shikasei samayim. Again, this idea, meyachem b'maklois b'shikasei samayim, by this idea which he did with this sort of trick, so to speak, which he did with the stick by the troughs of water where the sheep were drinking. And again, in Tane Amunim, the next piece, leman cholok, Yaakov was ish cholok, means smooth. Mefatzel maklois b'shikasei samayim. We have three times this mention in the Inyan of Yaakov who was Mefatzel. He did this his shtickl, so to speak, by trying to get the right type of sheep, which is a mitzvah agreed on with Lavan. So we have to understand what that is. But let's focus. We'll come to that later, Bezer Hashem, at the end. But let's focus on the concept itself of sukkos. The Yaakov Nosa Sukkosa, and as we mentioned in the Maravas Chomav Sukkos. What's the Indian of Sukkos? We find Yaakov went to a place called Sukkos, that should be an Indian why the Yontif of Sukkos represents Yaakov. So we have to start from the very beginning. There is a Tonne of Eliyahu in Eliyazuta Perigil Tess, which Rashi alludes to in Parshas Tovos, where it says, Vayisroitzu Habonim Bekirba. So Rashi says, one shot they were arguing about the Oilamos. And the Tonne of Eliyahu says as follows, that when Yaakov and Esau were Bebeten Ho'em, when they were in the womb of their mother Rivka, Esau, and Yaakov turned around to Esau and said, Shnei Achim Anachnu, we are two brothers. Ushnei Olam Oishlefoneinu, there are two worlds before. We're going to be faced with two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Let's make a chalukah, make a chalukah. You take Olam Hazeh and I'll take Olam Haba. Esau said to Yaakov, what's Olam Hazeh all about? And what's Olam Haba all about? So Yaakov said, Olam Haba is a place where there's no getting married, there's no inin of having wealth, children, etc. But Olam Hazeh, you have it all. So Esau said, fine, very good. And they made an agreement there and then. Yaakov should take Olam Haba, and Esau should take Olam Hazeh. The Tonne of Eliyahu goes right and says, when it says in Parshas Tovos, Esau came to Yaakov and said, Micha chayoyim es b'chayros choli, sell your b'chayor to me, chayoyim. So Rashi says kayoyim means an expression, a clear mechira, like the day is clear, everybody can see it's bright. But the Tonne of Eliyahu says, Micha chayoyim, like that day. That day where we made an agreement to divide up, you should take Olam Hazeh and I should take Olam Haba. Now Michro, let's do a Maisa Mechira. Let's actually bring that into fruition by making a Maisa Mechira Chayoyim like that day and you should sell the Mechoyim to me. And that's what happened. It says later in Parshas Vayishlach, when Esau met Yaakov, so he said to him, he sees that Yaakov's coming with rows of cattle and sheep and camels, whatever, is it, wealth, children, avodim, full of wealth. What's going on? A fortune which is amassed. Esau says to Yaakov, what's going on here? He says, Mi eile lefonecho, mi lecho kol amach nazeh. So Esau said to him, what's this all about? Mi eilaloch. Yeah, who are these to you? So the Tonne of Eliyahu says, he was asking, what's going on here? How come you told me that Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, you don't have any of this? So mi eilaloch, how come I see you now? You took Olam Haba, and yet, whatever you told me, Olam Hazeh has and Olam Haba doesn't have, you seem to have done that. You seem to have got both, best of both worlds. So Yaakov answered, Yom ha'ayaladim asher chonon elokim esafecho. Yaakov answers, this is what I've got from the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And this is what Yaakov was explaining to Esau. Yaakov was explaining to Esau that Avada, Olam Haba, as I said, means it's not a world of material pleasure. But that means it's not a world of material gain as an end in itself, for just to gain and for the benefits of the material gain. Olam Haba is, you can utilize Olam Haba in a way that it's Olam Haba. That means Hayilodim Asher Chonon Elokim Esafdecho. I can have whatever I want in Olam Haba, provided that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to me, and I'm utilizing it and using it for my avodas Hashem. It's not a stira. So Avada, I've got Olam Haba, but whatever I've got in this world is Olam Haba. It's not Olam Hazeh. And that's what Yaakov was explaining to Esau. The truth is, we find a bit earlier on in the parasha, the Inyan where Yaakov fought with the Sorishal Esav. And there it says that by Yevosa Yaakov Levadoi, Yaakov was left alone, and Chazal Dash Levadoi means Lekadoi, for his rest, for his job, that Melamed, that he went back to get the Pachim Katanim, the small jug which he left behind. The Melamed comes to teach you that Tzadik and Chazim Mamayim on Atman Yosem Igufo. So it seems a bit strange, Pashtas, that Yaakov should go to such lengths to put himself his life in danger just to for a few jugs. What's going on here? And even if we understand that he was very particular in what he had, but what's the Indian that Shachavidim Mamayim on Atman Yosem Igufo? What does it mean that their moment is more worth it to them than their guf? They value their money more than their guf? So the idea is as follows. The Ramban says in Iyov, and the Ramban in Moin Ruchim, that Tzadikim, when if they are dovuk entirely in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, then they are able to elevate themselves that they're not under the forces of Teva B'Klal. So if the more a Tzadik is dovuk in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he becomes sort of a ruchnistic being out of the spheres of this world, and he's not governed, he's not controlled by Teva. And he says that's why you find tzaddikim can do various nisim or unbelievable things happen by tzaddikim, is because due to their dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are not controlled by Teva. The Rambam says if you find a tzaddik at any point, maybe something happened to him and he was harmed by some natural occurrence, he says because at that point he was lacking in his dveikus. He let go of his dveikus a bit in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and that's why it happened. It's Yidua, Reb Chaim Volozhin in Nefesh HaChaim says there's a school of Haniflo of Ein Oid Mulvadoi, that if a person concentrates on this concept of Ein Oid Mulvadoi, there's nothing else in the world other than Rabbeinu Shel Olam, which means ultimate Zveikus Nakadosh Baruch Hu, then you'll be nitzel from anything, because this is the idea. Once you're completely doubled in Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you've removed yourself from, so to speak, from this world, you're now like a ruchnistic being, and don't to the Baruch Hashem, you can't be harmed by any natural forces. The Pirkei Reb Lezer says, but before we get to the Pirkei Reb Lezer, so the Svarna says that Yaakov Avinu was confronted with the Sorishal Esav. He says v'lo yochal lo. He says the Sorishal Esav wasn't able to do anything to him. Says the Svarna, l'roiv d'veikusoi, because of his d'veikus, and that for the whole time he was completely concentrating on his d'veikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was why the Sorish Aleisa wasn't able to harm him. It says at the end, v'yiga b'yat b'chaf yorechoi, what happened at the end? So he says at one point the Medrash says he showed Yaakov a vision of future doors, the Dor Hashmad, whatever it is. He caused Yaakov to lose his concentration. And that at that point, Malish, like the Rambam says, he lost his devatus at one point to a degree, and that's why he was able to have a negiyah. He was able to do something to him. But Al Kapon, you see that he saw it in the Svarna, that the way Yaakov was able to have the power to fight against the Malach was through his devatus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pirkei Reb Lezer says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that Yaakov was about to be confronted by Esav, so he sent him the Sorishal Esav to save him. What does that mean? He sent him the Sorishal Esav to save him. On the contrary, the Sorishal Esav was there, was going to come and harm him. So the idea is as follows. We're saying Yaakov went back to the Pachim Ketanim. What was he going back to the Pachim Ketanim? The Torah says as follows. A tzaddik understands his devekus in Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as we're saying. And he, as Yaakov said, he's got Olam Haba, means whatever I have in this world, I've only got to serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Any wealth that I've amassed is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given it to me. For what purpose? To serve the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, for nothing else. The same way as a tzaddik is not going to try and take something which doesn't belong to him, so too whatever he does have, he's not going to discard. Because what he does has been given by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam means that's what he's been given by the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. It's not mine to decide to discard it and say I don't need it. So at the same rate that Yaakov Avinu would not venture into Olam HaZeh or areas which don't belong to him, the same one what he did have, however small it may be, he realized this is Olam HaBa, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to me and I need it for my tachlis, and therefore that's why he went back for the Pach in Ketanim. The Chazal says, why did they go back to the Pach in Ketanim? Why Tzadikim Amoinam Chavivim Amoinam Alatzom Yosim Yudufam Shalei Poshti Yedeyem together. What does that mean? Because they haven't stolen. So whatever they pashtus it means, whatever they've got, they haven't stolen, it belongs to them. So that's the chashivus of tzaddikim. They're not kanovim, they're not avnonim. Is that what we're trying to say? It doesn't mean that. It means, as we said, Yaakov and Esau made an agreement. Yaakov takes Olam HaBa, Esau takes Olam HaZeh. Whatever of Olam HaZeh is not for the tachlis of Olam HaBa, that doesn't belong to Yaakov. If Yaakov would take anything from Olam HaZeh which doesn't belong to him, that's gezel. That's what it means. It doesn't mean he didn't steal it. I mean, about it, he got it. Oh, it belongs to him. But it means he hasn't taken Olam HaZeh for the sake of Olam HaZeh, because whatever he has, it's for the purpose of Olam HaBa. So that's why Chavivim Mamonim Alatzmon, why the moment is not so chaviv to them, because Shloiposti Yedayim Begezel, they haven't gone over and stepped over into Esav's chelik. It's their chelik for Olam HaBa. That's what it means they haven't stolen. What does it mean Chavivim Mamonim Alatzmon Yosim? As we said, that this idea of the chashivus of the money which they earn is all part and parcel of the zekus and rabbi shloilam, meaning that everything which they have in this world is kol kuloi for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, for our Avodas Hashem. So they don't give the rabbi shloilam, whatever they have is for our Avodas Hashem, and they don't take anything which is not for that. As we said, if someone is dovek in the rabbi shloilam, then he doesn't need to be worried about any forces of teva, any danger, because as the Rambam say, a tzaddik is completely dominant, it can be completely boiteach and can reach heights greater than even of a malach and not be harmed by nature, by teva. Therefore Yaakov going for the path of Ketanim is a display of his devekus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore he was quite confident to go, even if he's putting his life in danger, because with that bitachon which he's got, that zavekus which he's got in the Rebbeinu Shloim, he's able to put his life in danger because he'll be saved. Because this alone is the goof, the display of his using this Olam HaZeh for the purpose of Olam HaBa and his zavekus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Chaviv Mamayim Ma'asim Yosim Yigufo. That's trap in the Pirkei Avlezer, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he went back to the Pach in Ketanim, he said, right, I'm going to send him the Sori Shel Esav. What does that mean? Because the Biskarov says the only way to overcome Esav in this world is to overcome the Sar Shel Esav. Everything has got a higher force, Lamalo. To overcome the Sar Shel Esav, Lamalo. Therefore, if Esav, Yaakov is going to be confronted by Esav, if he wanted to overcome Esav, he had to first do combat with the Sar Shel Esav. But who says Yaakov is going to be able to have the power to fight and do combat with the Sar Shel Esav? But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that he went back for these Pachim Jutane Fraket, he sees his Devekus. Therefore, he says, now he's ready to do fight with Esau, so let me send him his Sar Shel Esau to save him from Esau's Tachim. The Sar Shel Esau sends him to save him from Esau. Therefore, that's in the Indian of the Yaakov and the Sar Shel Esau. It's very interesting, actually, that there's a Chazal which says that Bitzchus, Yaakov went back for the Pachim Ketanim. So yet the Klal Yisrael was zoichus to the nest of the Pach Shemen by Chanukah, which is again, this is a nest which is lemalo miderech hateva. But also, it's brought down in Sforim that looking at Neris Chanukah is a skula to combat or to quash any chemdas amom, the private moment. Let's say in Sforim, looking at the Ner Chanukah. The way we're learning is as follows, because the Ner Chanukah came with schus of the path in Ketanim which Yaakov went for, which is the antithesis of Tavis Momen, as we're saying. It doesn't mean he had a Tavis Momen. On the contrary, he didn't want Momen, he wants anything in this world purely for Avodas Hashem. If that's the true outlook to money in this world, then that enables you to combat any Tavis or Chemda of Momen, which is a Chemda, a desire for Momen for the sake of Olam HaZeh, not for Olam HaBa. The Another thing which is actually mentioned in the Tfilis is in Tfilis Geshem, which we'll say to Hashem tomorrow, is also we mentioned Yaakov Avinu, and we say there Zechoyer Toan Makloi V'Ovar Yad in Mayim Yichad Leiv V'Gol Evan Mipi Be'er Mayim Kenevak Loisar Kol Me'eshu Me'mayim. So Yichad Leiv, which means, so to speak, he devoted his heart, V'Gol Evan Mipi Be'er Mayim, and he rolled off the stone from the Be'er Mayim, which is when he came to the Be'er, the shepherds were there. And Kenevak Loisar Bol Me'eshu Me'mayim, and he wrestled with the Sar, means the Sar Shaleis of the Malach. So what does it mean, Yichad Leiv, the goal ever with Yibay Mayim? What does it mean, he devoted his heart? And what does it mean, Hataka, was Yaakov able to just roll off this stone, which all these shepherds weren't able to do? It's the same thing. Yaakov was through his Dveikus. Yichad Leiv means he was double. He strengthened his Dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore he was able to achieve things L'malo Midarach HaTeva. And therefore he was able to remove this stone, which physically wasn't possible to do. But through his Dveikus, he became able to remove a stone which is not physically possible, b'derech ha'teva. And so too we mentioned Kenevak Leisar, he was able to combat with the Malach. So we're doing is pointing out the dveikus of Yaakov Avinu, how he was lemalo, he was out of this world, he was in Olam Haba. So turning back to Sukkos, it says V'Yaakov Nosa Sukkos. So Yaakov, after meeting up with Esau, after being able to overcome the Sar Shel Esau, says that Yaakov traveled to Sukkot by Yiven Loibois. He built for him a house, or the Mikneo for his cattle also Sukkot. He erected Sukkot. Al Kain Korah Shem Hamokim Sukkot. Therefore, he called the name of the place Sukkot. So why? I mean, he did two things. He built a house and he built Sukkot. He called the place Sukkot because why didn't he call the place maybe Bais? Because if I even Bais, he built a house. Why is that? Didn't he call the place Sukkot? So the pshat is, the Malbim says pshat, that he did two things here. For himself, he built a house. Or the Mikneo for his cattle of a Sukkot. Meaning to say that the Targum Yosef and the Zil says Vayivin Loi Bois means he built the Beis HaMedrash, but meaning to say that he wanted to show that for himself, for his Torah Avada, you need a Bais, something fixed, something permanent. But Ulamikneu, for his cattle, for his material wealth. Okay, we're saying even his material wealth is the Torah Olam Haba, but nonetheless he wanted to display that the Olam Hazeh, for that you make Sukkot. That's something which is not it's not permanent, it's not for here, it's not for now, you're using it for something else. And therefore, Al Kain Kor Shem Amokim Sukkos, Dafka he called the place Sukkos, to instill this idea that I'm calling the place to remind me that when it came to my castle, I didn't build a bias, I didn't build a house for them, something permanent, I built Sukkos. And that is in truth the whole Indian of the Yontif of Sukkos. The Yontif of Sukkos is, it says, Basukha is Teish for Shivat Yomim, and then it says, Kol Ezrach for Yisroel. Yeshu Basukas. And the Bafar should say, what does it mean? Basukas Teshu Shiva Shalim, Kala Ezra, what's the repetition? So they say, that is, that Avada, we sometimes get entrenched in this world, in the trappings of this world, and we feel very secure in our homes, and therefore we need a Yom Tov of Sukkos, which is to show us that this world is only temporary. This world is only a way to get to Olam Haba. This is not, we're not here for the purpose of, for this world itself. And therefore what we have to do is we have to leave the comfort of our homes and go into a sukkah to show, at least for 7 days a year, we realize that we are totally reliant on our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So if I can't, the sukkah is at the Yom Tov where we're showing we don't place our trust in ourselves. We place our trust and we try to be Dovik in Rabbeinu Shloimeh. How? By going and living in a place in a structure which is totally reliable, independent, that we could have to rely on the Rebbeinu Shalom himself and no one else. And therefore, it says, "Basukis teishu shivat yomim." For 7 days a year, you sit in sukkahs. But why? Because kol ha'ezroch b'Yisrael yishuvah sukkahs is to, that you should realize kol ha'ezroch. Ezroch means somebody, a citizen, someone who feels quite comfortable and entrenched in this world. You should realize kol ha'ezroch b'Yisrael. You should always realize this world yishuvah b'sukkahs. Your whole outlook for this world should be that this world is, so to speak, only a sukkah, and that is the yontiv of sukkahs. So therefore, when we mention that the yontiv of sukkahs relates to Yaakov Avinu, as we find the Yaakov, where it's not Stam, he went to a place and he called it Sukkot. But Yaakov Avinu is the one who we find throughout the inyan of his Dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the, who utilized Olam Hazeh purely for Olam Haba, who placed his Bitachon solely in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and therefore, and he displayed that by calling the structure which he, oh, first of all, the structure he built, a temporary structure for his material world. And he called the place that name. That is the whole inyan of sukkahs. And in fact, that's the idea. As we say, we finish off with Oshanas and the Simchas Torah. The whole Yom Ha'Roim leads up to the Atzar Reisul Adas Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Oid Mulvadoi. That's what we're getting to after Yom Ha'Roim, after we've tried so much to be done with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we're getting to that understanding. And to be able to feel Ein Oid Mulvadoi, we can be totally dovuk in the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we display that by sitting in the sukkah for 7 days, and that is represented by Yaakov Avinu. What? First of all, just the it's interesting. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, the famous Gemara in Avodah Zarah, that La'osid Lovi, the Goyim are going to come to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and they're going to taina that. We want some skali, or let's have a share. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, what do you do? What did you do? They said we build bridges, we build this, we build. I mean, basically we amassed wealth, and that we were quite entrenched. Hakadosh Baruch Hu has shown to them that they were quite entrenched in Olam Hazeh, and they tried to say no, we did it for the Torah from Klal Yisrael. So then Hakadosh Baruch Hu says no. He says, give us one more chance. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, mitzvah katani yeshli, I've got a small mitzvah and sukkah, I'll give you a mitzvah of sukkah. So this is the idea. This is what Hakadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show to the Goyim, because that was the difference between Yaakov and Esau. Yaakov is the one who took Olam Haba. Esau was the one who took Olam Hazeh. This is the conflict the whole time between Yaakov and Esau. As long as Yaakov sticks to his Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, Esau's got no shlita, because he's not overstepping. He's not overstepping the boundary. But Esau has got a time it wants Klal Yisrael overstep the boundary. Esau's got a legitimate time. This is ours. This is Olam Hazeh. It's not yours. If we use Olam Hazeh for the tachlis of Olam Haba, Esau's got no time. Yaakov Shproch wanted to show the Goyim, look, I'll give you a mitzvah sukkah. See how you take to this. I mean, a mitzvah sukkah where you forget about Olam Hazeh, where you're totally dovek in the Ribbono Shel Olam and relied on the Ribbono Shel Olam. That was a mitzvah which they couldn't do. Just to finish off with the inyan of being mesatzer. So, although the svarim say that the Rishonim discuss it, in fact, the Baal HaTosfos mentioned this kasha. They actually refer to this Hoshana, as we said, the Nusach Hoshana asked, how can we mention it in Hoshanas? It seems he was coming to cheat Lavan. So, the Rishonim have got different Mahalchim, because if you look in the parasha, Yaakov Avinu was shown a vision in a dream where the Malachim were helping and enabling him, enabling the sheep to conceive in the way which would give him the right type of sheep which he was meant to have. So, they say, since Yaakov already saw it in a chalom, that was meant to be, therefore, he wanted to do his own ishtadlus by doing something to make it look as if it's through the Bederach HaTeva, even though some Rishonim say it physically it wouldn't work anyway what he did, but just to do some ishtadlus on his own part, because he saw in a chalom that it was meant to be anyway, therefore he does something on his own part to try and be mishtadl Bederach HaTeva to do something that it should work. But the Ostrov Tereva says as follows. He says that the tzaddikim, the whole time we find throughout tzaddikim, they don't like to rely on their own kusim. They don't like to rely on their own kusim. They don't like to benefit from nisim, because that's menachah that takes away from their kusim. Yaakov Avinu, he saw in a chalayim that this was meant to be. Yeah? Lavan was trying to cheat Yaakov Avinu. Aseret Shemayim, he cheated him 100 times. Why did he cheat him so many times? Lavan knew that Avada Kodesh Baruch was going to make Nisim for Yaakov to save him. That was good for his purpose. He wanted Kodesh Baruch to have to make more and more Nisim for Yaakov Avinu, and thereby he will lose his chusim. And that, he says, that's Arami Ovedovi. How did Lavan Arami want to destroy Yaakov? By causing that Yaakov Avinu should have to have so many Nisim made for him, therefore he'll lose all his chusim. So that's why Yaakov Avinu was Meyachin B'Maklois. That's why Yaakov Avinu, he wanted to do something B'Derech HaTeva, so to speak, so that he shouldn't have to rely on the Nisim. He should be able to say that he came through the Maklois, not through the Nisim. And therefore says the Oster of the Rebbe, that's what we're davening for. We're saying, we mentioned the chusim of Yaakov. Listen, you did these Nisim for Yaakov, but his chusim hadn't gone, he still got his chusim. Why? Because he was Meyachin B'Maklois. He knew he wanted his chusim to stay for the future doyers, and therefore he specially did all these ways of trying to get the sheep to come and conceive in the way that he wanted them to be. Why? To protect the future doyers, to protect that they should have his chusim. And that's why we mentioned that's the ikkar what we're davening for, so that we still have the chusim of Yaakov Avinu, should continue to have the chusim of Yaakov Avinu.